Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
The title of the message today is We Give God Our Service and He Gives Us His Surprises. Isn't that true? And so we're going to look at Zacharias and Elizabeth and how they were going to have a child by the name of John the Baptist. And so if you look in Luke chapter 1, let's start in verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Don't forget verse 10, by the way. Tucked away in this story, it's very important. And the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Verse 16. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And by the way, that was for 9 months that he couldn't speak. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. What we're going to do is we're going to look at the things that when we give God this, he gives us that. When we give God our heart, he gives us salvation. When we give God our worry, he gives us his peace. And it's always a great gift exchange. Why? Because God relates to his people. He relates to his people. He doesn't just be our God and step back and let us live on our own. God has an intimate relationship with each and every single born-again individual in this room today. He relates to you. And as you give God your service, and as you give God your faith, and you give God your heart and your time, what he does is he reciprocates that, because he wants you to grow in him experientially as well as intellectually, mentally, and in the heart. And it's just how God works. Aren't you glad we have a personal Savior? He is a personal Savior. So the first thing we want to look at this morning is this. When we give God our worship, he gives us his presence. Now, when you think about Zachariah was a normal guy just like you and I. And Zacharias was living out in the hills of Judea, the Judean hills. And so basically he lived out in the country. Jerusalem, the big city life where the temple was and all of the religious life was, He had to travel there to get there. He was just a normal guy, had a wife that was just a normal woman, and they just loved the Lord. They had insignificance to speak of until this scene right here in the temple. But they loved the Lord, and the Bible says that they were blameless. Now, that doesn't mean that they were without sin, because that's impossible. What that word is speaking of is that their motives were right. When they came to the temple to worship, whenever they served God in their hills and when they prayed with the right motive. They loved the Lord with the right motive. And because their motives were right, the Bible says that they were blameless, not that they were sinless. Big difference, because nobody's without sin. Only Jesus was without sin. And so here they are, and you might think of the temple service like this. The temple service, if you read back in Exodus, it began with Aaron. Aaron was the first chief priest, the first priest. And then the priesthood was to go through Aaron's descendants. Remember Aaron and Moses when they delivered the people out of Israel out of Egypt? And so the descendants of Aaron were established to do the priestly services of the temple, because you couldn't put the entire nation of Israel inside the temple. They would not fit to where each one of them could do it. So they had representation to do that for them, to show us what faith would look like and what the plan of salvation would look like. And so what they did is, if you follow this, for you that like to go really, really deep in study, this would be more interesting to you. But if you follow this, you can go from Exodus, and you can go to 1 Chronicles chapter 24, around verses 5 through 10, and you can see where something begins to happen. I mean, they get into 70 years of captivity way later, and only four of these divisions come out of the captivity and head back to Jerusalem when Nehemiah is building the walls. And so they only have four groups out of 24 groups. David had divided it into 24 groups because there were so many priests that they all couldn't do the service. So they had to figure out, we got so many priests now from this family of Aaron, we got to do something about it. So King David had divided that up into 24 groups. Now I'm getting to Zacharias here, so follow me in this. And so here they go, and they get to captivity, 70 years of captivity. And while they're there, and they finally come out at the rebuilding of the walls, they have that decree, and only four divisions come out of 24. So what they did is they knew that they needed to have that consistency and that representation. And you can read in Ezra and Nehemiah 13 and Ezra 2 or so, you can read about how they decided, let's find as close as we can any divisions that were related to those others that stayed in Babylon. And they went ahead and they stuck with the 24 divisions. They started it with new people, with new groups. They kept the name even if they didn't come from the descendancy, so that they could keep the consistency. And so that's what they did. Now we get here, and here is Zacharias and Elizabeth living out in the country just like many of you do today. And something happens. The lot, by God's plan, was cast, and it fell on Zacharias. Now they would serve the temple services kind of like the National Guard or the Army Reserves would do today. In other words, in the National Guard, people are doing their own thing. They're out making a living. But when they're called upon, they go and serve. Well, that's kind of the way it was for this temple service. So the lot falls on Zacharias, and he says, hey, honey, got to head to Jerusalem. I just got this high honor that they prayed for. I mean, it was huge to get this honor. And he says, I'm going to Jerusalem. I get to serve at the feast, and it would be for a full week. And he says, hey, I get to help with lighting the lamps, and I get to help with the altar of incense, which was right literally in front of the curtain, the veil that separated the most holy place from the Holy of Holies. And so Zacharias is overwhelmed, and he knows that I love the Lord. My motives are right, and that's what the first point is all about. When we give God our worship, He gives us His presence. And so Zacharias, he gets there, and look at something that happens. Look at verse 8. So it was, while he was serving as priest before God, in the order of his division, which was of Abijah. By the way, don't confuse Abijah, because you'll find eight places where there's different Abijahs. There's a Queen Abijah. There's a King Abijah. There's a lot of different Abijahs in the Old Testament. This is the Abijah that was the chief priest that he was a division of. And so it was, that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. This was a huge honor, and you had to take it very serious, or you might be like Aaron's two oldest sons. Remember what happened to Aaron's two oldest sons? They went in there and they offered strange fire. Well, they had to be drug out of there because they died at the altar. They went in there and they didn't offer according to God's plan and will and way. And when they didn't offer it right before God, God took their lives right there because he couldn't honor it. It could not be honored. And so, don't you know Zacharias has heard that story through the years? And he's thinking, oh my goodness, I bet he had so much fear of, I got to do everything right. And I can just see the night before, him and Elizabeth praying together. And as he says, I want to make sure I dot all my I's and cross all my T's, because if I get in there and mess up, the Lord can take my life. And so this was a very reverent and serious act of worship that he was fixing to perform in the temple that happened once per year, and it was his order of division to do this for his division. And so he gets in there, and look at verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. You know, first of all, just on a surface level here, he would have never had that experience of the presence of God had he not been serving God. And I just want to say to you that when you're not serving God and you put God on the back burner of your life and he becomes at the bottom shelf of your life and he's not at the top shelf of your life, you're not going to experience some of these great surprises of his presence. You're not going to experience a lot of the blessings that he's already got ordained for you in heaven because you're not willing to walk according to his will. But when you put God first in your life and he's on the top shelf of your life, you can expect blessings and his presence. You can expect it because God is no respecter of persons. God looks at our heart individually. He doesn't compare us to anybody else. He made you uniquely. You are who you are and there'll never be another you. You're the only you that there is. Teresa, you got the only me that there is that you got to be married to. I know, it's tough, but somebody's got to do it. In other words, you are an individual that's made of God. And when you give your heart to Jesus Christ, fully commit to the Lord. Fully commit to him. Don't give him bottom shelf level service. Bottom shelf level service, you never really get to truly see what all God had planned for your life. The doors that he had planned to open. God wants to do miraculous things in your life. You know why? Because he wants to use you for his glory and as a testimony to others that need him or need to see that God is real. And so you remember what Jesus said? I could not do many works in Nazareth. He was in his hometown, but he couldn't do many works. You know why he couldn't? Because of unbelief. The people in his own town refused to believe him. And he couldn't do a lot of works. Now, that same illustration works in our hearts. It works in our heart. Can God do many works in your temple? Because he doesn't dwell in a temple made with hands anymore. He dwells in the hearts of his people. Isn't that wondrous? I mean, I love that. He is right here in the heart. And so give God your worship, and he'll give you his presence. That doesn't mean just at church. That means everywhere, at home, wherever you are. Then there's the second one. Give God your prayers, and he gives us his answer, sometimes with a miracle. And, Frank, I want you to leave that on the screen just for a second, but can you back up to two pictures or go to two pictures that I had on there? Is that the first one? They must be having a lightning storm during that one. That's something going on electronically. That's not purposely that flashing. But if you can see that, there, well, I can't make it still. If you look, oh, mine's got lightning flashing going on. All right. See the altar right there with the poles in the side, right before the temple veil? That you can see the veil of the temple that goes into the Holy of Holies. Inside that room, Frankie, go to the next one. It might show it better. Okay, go back to the one you was just at. All right, see, whenever God arranged the temple to be a storybook, so that when you look at the arrangement of the temple, you can see how we are to be saved. So when you walk in, there's an altar. We can't see it. If I could push the picture forward, you could see it. There's another altar in there, an altar of sacrifice. There is a laver picturing our baptism, that we've been, old has passed away and the new has come, the cleansing of the water of the Word. And then there's the Ark of the Covenant behind that veil right there with the showbread and all the different things in it that the Lord, the tablets of stone and the almond branch that budded and all those things that are in there to picture Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. Now, when Zacharias went into the temple, he went to that altar right there with the poles in it. And if you look very closely, you'll see four horns coming out of the four corners. Those four horns coming out of the four corners represent the four corners of the earth. In other words, salvation was never meant just for the Jewish people. Salvation was going to be meant for the whole wide world. And so when he goes in there and he presents this incense, what he has is he has fragrances. Go to the next slide, Frankie. Thank you. He has, there's the horns right there. And they're made monolithic into that altar, representing the four corners of the earth, that the gospel is for everyone, and that prayers and intercession is represented for everyone that gives their heart to Christ. And so what he's doing right here, it looks kind of funny, but it makes a lot of sense. What he's doing is he brought in some aloes and spices that were mixed with a flammable material that produces a lot of smoke. While he's inside doing this act of worship with the altar of incense, there are people gathered outside that are in a spirit of prayer. But not only that, it gets even better. Back home where he's from and in other villages that are a part of that tribe that he came from or that division he came from, those guys that are still home, they are in a spirit of prayer. They know what's going on. They are in a spirit of prayer too. And so he puts that in there, and it literally, as that smoke rises, that room is not real well ventilated, but there's openings towards the top of the temple. And so it begins to fill that temple with that smoke that represents our prayers. And what happens is that smoke starts going up, and it starts going out those openings in the temple. And then when those that are outside are praying, when they look up and see it, it symbolizes that their prayers are being lifted to heaven on behalf of Israel. Isn't that powerful? And so the picture there is Zacharias, when he goes in there, he's got to do everything right. If he offers strange fire, if it's not according to the tradition and custom, he could have died right there. So you can imagine how scared he is. So there he is. He's presenting this incense. And guess what happens? Wham! An angel shows up, Gabriel, right there to the right of him, announces that his prayer's been heard. What was his prayer? Prayer was twofold, and it's very interesting because you're probably going to say what most people say the first thing they say. Well, they've been praying for a son or a daughter. They've been praying for a baby for all those years. That was the prayer that was answered. It's even greater than that. Yes, that prayer was answered, but it's greater than that. The Bible says his motives were right. He was a blameless man. You know what he had been praying for? The Messiah to come. He had been praying that the Messiah would come. And then for the Messiah to come, the Bible in Malachi ended with a message. The last verses in the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, said that there would have to be something else that would happen. In fact, he quoted it right here in Luke. He says in verse 17, he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What he is quoting there is basically he's saying the same thing that was said in Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, before 400 years of silence. It's interesting. There had been 400 years of silence in the intertestamental period. Not that God never spoke to anybody, but there was no profound speaking through new prophets or anything like that. And so what happens is he gets to this point, and there's been all this silence for generation after generation and after generation. And here you have Zacharias is fixing to break the silence, but yet he's going to be made silent. The silence is about to break. The angel is going to announce that John the Baptist is fixing to be born, and he is the one in Malachi, the last chapter, chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Aren't you glad that he didn't come and strike the earth with a curse? You know what he did? He came to bless and to save. He says, for I have come to save lives, not to destroy lives. And he came not with a striking of the earth with a curse. And so to do that, he allowed John the Baptist, the forerunner, to make a way in the wilderness, to make the path straight for the coming of the Savior. And his wife being cousins of Mary, isn't it interesting? And just a few months later, guess who's pregnant? Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit with baby Jesus. Now, you say, what's significant about this smoke? Now, I've got this right here. Y'all know what this is? Can y'all hear that? It's a bee smoker. And it's interesting because it's antique and it's got written on the directions on the front. It says, never puff a smoker in anyone's face, even to ward off bees. In other words, if somebody's got eat up by bees, don't start blowing the smoke in their face. And it's interesting they had to put that on there. I would have let them do it to me. This smoker, I've used it before, and you can put an oily rag or something like that in there, and then you light it, you shut the lid on it, and then you go to a tree, wherever the hole is in the tree or in the wall of your house, and you start doing that, and it blows smoke in there. It smokes out the bees. That's the purpose of it. This is a great illustration of you and me as Christians. You and me are like smokers. Just call yourself a smoker. No, not the kind like this, but you know what I mean. You're a smoker. And so basically, God, when you are worshiping him and you have aligned yourself with his will and his word and his way, in other words, you entered the temple and you've come to the altar of incense properly. In other words, you're coming to the Lord in prayer through his word. That's why I always say, pray with the word of God, because the word of God instructs your prayers. Pray with the Word of God. And so when you come to the Lord in prayer and you're praying the Word of God as He puts it on your heart, let me tell you what's happening. God is lighting a fire inside of you. That's what we call the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You've received that when you got saved. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit is Him filling you. It's God filling you with His presence, filling you with His wisdom, giving you discernment, giving you direction, giving you peace where you need peace, giving you zeal where you need zeal, giving you a bit to be a ready witness where you need to be a ready witness. And you know what He does? He lights that fire and He puts all kinds of Holy Spirit oil all over it, and then He shuts the lid. And Jeremiah described it like this. Jeremiah said, your word is in me like a burning fire, and I'm weary of holding it in. Now what's happened? God and His word and His anointing has filled your heart with smoke. I mean, you're fixing to blow some smoke. So what happens? God sends you out into the world the next day where you had fear, where you had chaos. Now you're blowing smoke, the smoke of His presence. You're blowing the smoke of righteousness. You're blowing the smoke of His witness. You're blowing the smoke of fearlessness. You're blowing the smoke of peace and calm and all of these things. Why? Because you let Him light the fire in your heart. Now, when we come to the Lord to worship and we don't let Him light a fire in our heart, we've left without anything. We left with no more than what we came in with. And I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about in your house or wherever you are. You've got to have a time that you spend with the Lord in His Word. It has to happen. You can't replace it. It cannot be. You can't substitute it because it was given by God. Then there's a last point here. Second one was, when we give God our prayers, He gives us His answers sometimes with a miracle. And that's what Zacharias experienced. I want to give you some scriptures to jot down real quickly. I don't have time to go all through it. But there's three things that your prayers do. Number one, your prayers, God is touched by your prayers. He's touched by them. John chapter 9, verse 31. Says, now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears him. So God is touched by our prayers. Number two is 1 John chapter 5, 14. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. How do we know His will? Through His word. Then there's a second thing about our prayers. Our prayers God remembers our prayers. He's touched by our prayers, and He remembers our prayers. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows," which means pain. So the Lord's saying, listen, yes, you've been in bondage for 400 years, but I never forgot your groanings. I never forgot your prayers. And I think of it like this. I still have photo albums, and I'm sure you do too. Most of it's in our telephones nowadays. I think God takes all of our prayers, and it's like a photo album. And He looks through the photo album of our life and our prayers, which seems a long time for us, but God's from eternal. He's from everlasting. Those prayers are like this. Prayers you might have prayed 50 years ago or 20 years ago. Don't think that God didn't not answer those prayers. He may be answering some of those prayers in your life right now. Because God is not limited by time. He's boundless. And He's never forgot your prayers. And then thirdly, and I love this, not only does God, not only is He touched by our prayers, remembers our prayers, He answers our prayers. Abraham Lincoln said this about his prayer life. He says, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go." Don't you like to come to that place? When you have such a conviction, there's nowhere else in the world to turn except up. Turn to the Lord. When you get in a place in life where you have nowhere to turn but to the Lord, that's where God's fixing to do something miraculous and something great. Why? Because He wants to. He desires to. The last one is this. When we give God our willingness, He gives us His miraculous. Now, I don't know how to say this, so I'll do the best I can in how to say it. Zacharias has been told that you're going to have a child, and you're to call him John. Zacharias didn't believe. You know why he didn't believe? Because he was well advanced in years, and his wife was already well past childbearing. And so Zacharias, that's why he didn't believe. He's like, that can't happen. And Gabriel saw the motive of his heart when he said that. You're not believing. This is a message from God you're not believing. And so he made him silent. Basically, he was a preacher that was silent for 9 months. Imagine that. That's why he came out so frantically trying to do all these different sign languages. And so for 9 months, he can't speak. I can just hear, because that child had to be conceived in order for that promise to be fulfilled. I can just hear Zacharias when he goes to Elizabeth and says, you know, we're supposed to have a baby. What? And you know the rest of the story. But what I'm trying to get at is it takes an obedience. It takes a willingness. When God speaks to your heart, you have to be willing to obey and to follow through with what He speaks to your heart. If you don't, you never get to see the blessing. It's very powerful and it's very important. And so when you think about the story of Zacharias, it connects directly to the Christmas story. Think of it like this. You never know what God has planned for your life. He already planned it before you was born. You may feel unknown and alone, living in the hills of Judea, like Zacharias. But know this, you're beloved of God. You're never alone. Today, He doesn't just use a handful. He wants to use all of us. He'll use you just like He uses other people in Zacharias. Your faith, your service is just as important as anybody else's. You say, well, my service, what I do is this. It's just as important. You say, well, all I do is I'm the guy that paints signs at the church. Let me tell you, your service is just as important. It takes all of us working together. It's just as important as what I do, preaching the Word. We need all of these things working hand in hand, because all of these things working hand to hand, when you put them all together, it makes a signpost that points directly to Jesus Christ. It's His body working together. You say, I don't know that if He'll ever use me. My resources are small. I feel like that my prayers sometimes are not heard. I want you to encourage yourself in the faith today. Build yourself up in the most holy faith. And you realize, let me tell you something, the one living in your heart can overcome all of your, limitations. The one in your heart is limitless. Yes, you are limited, but the one living in you, He has no limits. And when you give Him your trust and you give Him your faith, He opens up the limitless resources from heaven. Y'all, that is so powerful. And when you say, listen, God, my faith is weak, but you are strong. My heart is weak, but you are strong. And when you start seeing God for who He is, let me tell you what happens. The fire gets lit in your heart. Because now you've put Him on the top shelf. He's no longer on the bottom shelf of your life. Everything else has to fall under that. It has to, or it's idolatry.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.